and thank my wife, Shoshana, if you would be so kind to stand up and wave. So, you know, it's not football season, but a lot of people are football fans, and they don't realize that, there's a Jewish football team, and this Jewish football team has got Jewish cheerleaders. I know it's a surprise. But they cheer, as cheerleaders do. And a lot of people are very surprised by their cheer. They get up with the pom-poms and they say, "Get that quarterback." I know, it's early. So, you'll get it next Tuesday. It'll pop in there. So I appreciate the warm welcome. Say, somebody got it. It's a sink. So you have an awesome memory. I can't even remember some of that stuff. That was good. So yes, I was born in a Jewish family, raised in a Jewish family, and we moved from Manhattan to Ohio, raised some in Ohio, and then we moved to South Florida. And my wife was raised in a Catholic home, went to Catholic school. So our children went to confession, but they took an attorney, so. Okay, you're starting to wake up a little bit. So good, wonderful. So we have I wanted to just talk to you a little bit today about the Word of God. And little advertisements. This is what it's about for me and to my wife. Romans 1:16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile." And you know, when you accept Yeshua as your personal Lord and Savior, when you ask Him to rule your life, right then and there you become grafted in to Israel. I'm no more a part of Israel than you. So all the promises that are in the Bible, all 66 books, are for you as well as me. This is good news. There's a lot of awesome promises, and God is always faithful. So, Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua. Why is this important? Because it's the name above all other names. He is the name above all other names. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And it's apparent in the whole Bible. So I'm going to just show you something that I'm sure will change your Bible study forever, even if you don't read Hebrew. His name is Yeshua. When his mother was calling him for dinner, she would say, "Yeshua, come to dinner." not in English, of course, but in Hebrew. And his friends called him Yeshua, because that's his name. So why is that important? Because his very name means salvation. His very name means salvation. And understand that the Messiah is a Jewish concept. This all came from the Hebrew Scriptures. And how did they know about the Messiah? They missed the main thing, that he came. But they knew a lot about Messiah. How did they learn it? From the Scriptures. And you can do this even with your English Bible, whatever translation you use. I will tell you that the name of Jesus is in the Hebrew Scriptures about 125 times, depending on which translation that you use. Directly in Scriptures. You almost can't open a book of the Bible without finding the name of Jesus. I'll give you some examples. Even in Genesis, it starts in Genesis. Here's Genesis, and I use the King James, the New King James Version, because I go to a fair amount of churches, and I admire people that can read the King James Version. I'm not one of them. It's difficult for me to read. Hebrew, I can read, but King James English, a little more difficult. So being in the South, I use the New King James Version and apologize to those who just are pure King James people. I had a person ask me one time when I was, they said, what version of the Bible do you read? I read the Hebrew Scriptures. You know, there's only one version of the Hebrew Scriptures. Only one. I just got a catalog a couple of days ago. Had like 150 different translations of the Bible. Baruch Hashem, wonderful, that's good. But there's only one Hebrew Bible. And there's not one letter difference between the Hebrew Scriptures that Jesus read from a scroll in Hebrew and the one that we have in our synagogue today. Not one letter different. So it's nice that I can read it from the Hebrew, but you can also learn about Jesus from the Hebrew Scriptures. Remember, the Jews, they didn't have New Testaments. You know, they couldn't walk around Jerusalem and say, let me take you down this Roman road of salvation and we'll take care of this. No. All they had was the Hebrew Scriptures. So just as an example, in Genesis 49:18, it says, I've waited for your salvation, O Lord. In Hebrew, it says, I've waited for Yeshua, O Lord. It says, I've waited for Jesus, O Lord. You can begin to learn more about the nature of the Messiah through the Hebrew Scriptures, and you can do this yourself. I've waited for Yeshua, O Lord. I've waited for Jesus, O Lord. Every time you see the word salvation, just put Jesus in there. And you'll begin to learn what Jews know, what the people of the time of Jesus knew. But, you know, I got a news flash for you. You're grafted into Israel, and Israel is a nation of priests. You're a nation of priests. God called you to be here as part of your priestly duty. You have a priestly duty. You're a nation of priests. You know, Israel wasn't grafted into Czechoslovakia or Panama or Greenland or Iceland. Not that there's anything wrong with those places, but everyone who believes is grafted into Israel. And once you understand that you are Israel, and you are a nation of priests, gives you a little different perspective. So I'll give you a couple of more examples. Exodus, the Lord's my strength and song. He has become Yeshua. He is my God. I will praise him. He's my Father's God. I'll exalt him. Deuteronomy, down at the bottom. And they scornfully esteem the rock that is Jesus, that is Yeshua. It's Deuteronomy, 1 Samuel. Hannah, you remember Hannah? If you don't, read it. It's a good book right here about it. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in Jesus. You think that Hannah knew who's Messiah? Yeah, she knew who's Messiah. All these people in the Bible that were Jewish, they knew who Messiah was. And Hannah was no different. Second Samuel. Oops. The God of my strength, whom will I trust? My shield, my Jesus, my stronghold, my refuge, my Messiah. You save me from violence. It's spelling it out very clearly here, that Jesus is the Messiah. It says it there in black and white. Now, I will tell you, when I have conversations with non-Messianic Jews and rabbis, when they'll speak to me and ask them to explain this, they go through great convolutions to try to justify how that Jesus isn't the Messiah. And that's part of the problem is that the Jewish Messiah has become unrecognizable to Jewish people. But you've also given me the shield of your salvation. You've also given me the shield of Jesus. Your gentleness has made me great. This is Jesus. It's in the scriptures. It's telling us right about him. Thank God we have the New Testament. It's such a blessing and it's so awesome. But you can learn everything that they knew about Jesus from the Hebrew scriptures. So I know that this will change when you're reading your scriptures, every time you see the word salvation. And guess what? It works in every language. It works in every language. 2 Samuel. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. The Lord be exalted. The rock that is Jesus. He's the rock. 1 Chronicles. And I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm not going to go through all 125. Believe me, I'll let you do that on your own. This is a good one. First Chronicles. And say, save us, Hoshienu, our God. Gather us together. Hoshienu. You know, when Yeshua made the triumphal entry, they said, Hosanna, it's come to be called in English. What were they saying? In Hebrew, they were saying, Hoshienu, save us now. Save us now. They knew who he was. Save us. So I'm just going to click through these and just to give you an idea. Psalms, Isaiah, you almost can't open a book of the Bible I'm just clicking through them. So if you get the, if you're watching this online or a recording of it, you can slow it down yourself. Lamentations. It's good that one should hope and wait quietly for Jesus, the Lord. Still good. It still works today. Jonah. Micah, Habakkuk, Zechariah, or Zechariah is in English. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. You know, you ladies here, you're all daughters of Zion. If you have Jesus in your heart. If you're not, I'm sure there's a number of people after the service that can take care of this for you. They can work with you to change this. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's just and he is Jesus, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. You know, this is a popular one that we hear around around Christmas time. But this is, it's right there in black and white. So, this is a nice study technique. But I will tell you that today, on some calendars, is recorded as Pentecost Sunday. I will tell you that Penta means 50, right? It's 50 days. People count it different ways. They count it from when Jesus died and rose again. But on the Hebrew calendar, which is a little bit different than the Gregorian calendar, it's counted from the day of first fruits. And Jesus was the first fruits of the dead. So, this day of Pentecost, in Hebrew is called Shavuot. It's a very special day, Shavuot. Because Jesus, he died right when he was supposed to, on Passover, when the lambs were being sacrificed. He was planted in the ground as the first fruits of the dead, right at the right time, when first fruits were offered. And it tells us in the Bible to count 49 days, and then the day after that is Shavuot, or Pentecost. So remember in Acts where it says about tongues of fire. Remember the story? The tongues of fire came down. And that everyone was filled with the Spirit. Some call this the birth of the church. And everyone was out speaking in tongues. of different languages and other people understood what they said, and 3,000 came to the Lord that day. The release of the Holy Spirit, the release of the Ruach HaKodesh. And this is what today is marked on many calendars, this day of Pentecost. Shavuot is one of the three pilgrimage festivals where we're all commanded to go to. Israel, go to Jerusalem. That's what they are all doing in Jerusalem. Is coming for Shavuot. So one of the nice parts about being Jewish is when I pray, people never know whether I'm speaking in tongues or praying in Hebrew, and it's okay. You know, some people don't believe in the gift of tongues, and that's okay too. But I think I'm just going to do something that I really have never done before. And would you give me the just let me know when it's about 3 minutes before I can when I should wind down, because you know I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to let the Spirit of the Lord take over. So. You know, the worst that can happen is you don't invite me back. I notice there's no tomatoes passed out. So they won't stain my shirt. You know, when on this day of Pentecost, which we can commemorate today, the people were praying and they came out and there were tongues of fire that came down and settled on their heads. You can read the story on your own time. And the Spirit of the Lord was released. And people began to speak what they thought in their own language. And the other people that were from all over the world understood what they were saying. They understood what they were saying. Because it was a pilgrimage festival, and people came, Jews came from all over the known world at that time, and they didn't speak Hebrew. So a lot of them spoke Greek because that was the lingua franca at the time. That was the like English is the business language today, and English is the most widely spoken language on the planet, by the way. I thought it was Chinese, but when I actually researched it, English is the most widely spoken language. So when they would come to the temple to bring their sacrifices, to worship God, because remember, that was the only place that we could do it. They would come to the temple. Imagine this, if you would. That there are people coming from all over the world, and they come to the temple to praise God and to worship God, just like we came here today, to praise God, to worship God. And they didn't speak the language. The priests would come up and they would speak in Hebrew and talk in Hebrew and this kind of a thing. And they had no idea what they were saying. So when the priests would come out, they would start people with what is called the nigun. And what is this? This is syllables. This is syllables of song. And then people would learn to these syllables and they would sing along with the syllables. And then they would start introducing a little bit of Hebrew in this. And frankly, I've never done this before, especially with a Gentile audience, so only God knows. So the priest would come out, and I would ask you to repeat after me. And I'm sure you'll feel very foolish, and you'll be publicly embarrassed. Baruch Hashem. But they would come out and they would say, they would start, and here's a couple of the traditional ones that they would do. And we know these because Hebrew is not only a language of spoken word, but it is also music. Music. It's also mathematics. You know that the Western world is beginning to touch on. You know, you might have read a book called The Bible Codes or heard of it, where they put the Hebrew letters as numbers, they found predictions in there and all this kind of stuff. But the Hebrew language, the Hebrew scriptures, in the synagogue, they're not spoken, they're sung. The whole of the Bible in Hebrew is sung. You sing it. And the melody is exactly the same today as it was when Moses would sing it, or Aaron would sing it, or anybody else would sing it. In fact, if you go to any synagogue in the world and you hear the Bible being read or sung, it's the exact same melody. Because you can read it. You learn to read it. You can learn to read it musically and sing it. So if you walk in and you hear the melody, and each part of Scripture has its own melody that God gave it. And why did he do this? I don't know. You know, there's a lot of stuff I don't know why he does. He just does. But I'll tell you, even in my own mind, how many songs do you know by heart? You know every word. And what's even more incredible is that you know every note. And I would bet if you sit down with a piece of paper, you could probably come up with 150 songs that you know every word and every note. How much scripture do you know by heart? I would say probably not 150 chapters that you know every word. Why? Because music comes from the heart. Now, memorization comes from the brain. Yes, it's involved with music. But even when we were singing here this morning, I looked around a little bit and I saw people that I could tell that they were entering in. They were transformed. They were being led to the Holy of Holies. They were being led to praise God. So, you know, the whole of Scriptures, it's said that Psalms The book of Psalms is our love songs to God. But the whole rest of the scripture is God's love song to us. And as you read scripture, and you hear God singing his love song to you through his word, it just can touch your heart. So, anyway, all these Jews, they would come to the temple and they'd be hanging around, much like, going to church. And, they did it because, I'm supposed to, God said, come here on this day. And they didn't know the words and they didn't have PowerPoint. I'm pretty sure. They didn't speak the language. Can you imagine if the room was filled with people and of every tribe and tongue and nation? And they came to worship and they came to pray. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, God told the priests what to do. Through Aaron and from father to son. From father to son. Because Aaron was the high priest, right? The first one, and passed it down. So these melodies, anyway, we'll just try it and we'll see what happens. The worst that can happen is, I don't know what. So you guys just repeat after me. Ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 ay. Oy, 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 oy. Hey, not so bad. You did good. See, you learned the words. You knew them. And this would continue. This would continue. And Jews, we dance. It's part of our worship. If you ever go to a Messianic Jewish synagogue, we sing, we dance, we eat, and we pray, but we dance. A lot of people think of Orthodox Jews, and they get a picture in their mind of I've been to some Roman Catholic high masses, and they're very prim and stodgy and kind of this like this. And it's beautiful, don't get me wrong, but it's very... But Jews were the original spirit-filled people. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's recorded in the Bible. David made a fool out of himself. He was a fool for God because he was dancing with abandon. He was so filled with the joy of the Lord. So don't worry, I won't make you dance this time. And maybe next time if I'm invited back. But men dance and women dance. Very simple dances. And when you're worshiping with your body and with your mouth and with your ears and you're worshiping with every part that you can have, you can just imagine when your total fiber of your being is involved with praising God. And then they would start to throw in Hebrew. And we'll try it again with a little bit Hebrew. Avinu, 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 Malkeinu, Avinu, Malkeinu. Avinu. Malkeinu. Our Father, our Father, and our King, that's what you were just saying in Hebrew. Our Father and our King, you were just praising God. You were just praising God. In Hebrew, which is, and you didn't even know that you knew Hebrew. And then they would go on from there. And everyone would be singing and praising God and dancing. Can you imagine this celebration? So I think I just want to pray. Abba Bashamayim, our Father in heaven, I just ask for your blessings on this congregation and these people. Lord, I just ask you to minister to their every need. If they have needs for finance, if they have needs for healing, Lord, I pray for healing where healing is needed, where healing is needed in their bodies or their souls or their families. I pray that you break off anything that is not of you, Father, and sweep through them, Father. Sweep through them. Just remove anything that is not of you and replace it with your Spirit. That today would mark a change, that their life has changed, that this day of Pentecost, that you would touch them with the tongue of fire. And that you would bless them, Lord. You would bless each one and everyone. Bless them supernaturally. Supernaturally, Father. That they would know, and that everyone that knows them would know, that the only way that this could have happened is that of God himself, that you yourself reached down from heaven and moved in their life. Father, I pray for these miracles to happen in each one. And then when they come through the next week and over the next course of weeks, when they come together in their service on Sunday, that they would report to each other the miracles that have happened. And Lord, I'm expecting the miracles, and I look forward to hearing the reports of these miracles, Father. I thank you for your blessing. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen, amen, amen.
Please say all this again.
Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are